Gopi Janabalaba Girivaradhari. Jashoda Nandana Vraja Janaranjana. Jashoda Nandana Vraja Janaranjana. Jashoda Nandana Vraja Janaranjana. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Sarasatim Vyasam. Tato Jayam Udiraye. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 15, Description of the Kingdom of God. And today's verse is 29. Dvaryetayor nivibhishur mishtayor aprishtva. Purva yata purata vajra. Kapatikaya. Sarvatrate Vishamaya Munaya Svadrushtya. Yesa Yesan Charantya Vahita Vigata Vishanka. Orvayata purata vajra kapatikaya. Sarvatra te vishamaya muriya svadrishya. Vaishnavis, Varyetaya Nivivishur Mishaitora Prishtva. Sarvatra te vishamaya muneya svadrishya. Esan charanta vihita vigita. Thank you. Dwari, at the door. Itayo, both doorkeepers. Nivivishu, entered, Mishato,
while seeing,
Aprishtva,
without asking,
Purva,
as before,
Yata,
as,
Purata,
made of gold,
Vajra,
and diamond,
Kapatika,
the doors,
Ya,
which,
Sarvatra,
everywhere,
Te,
they,
Avishamaya,
without
any sense of discrimination,
Munaya,
the great sages,
Swadrishtya,
out of their own will,
Ye,
who,
Sancharanti,
move,
Avihata,
without being checked,
Vigata,
without,
Abhishanka,
doubt.
The great sages
headed by
Sanaka
had
opened
doors
everywhere.
They had no
idea of ours
and theirs.
With
open minds, they
entered the
seventh door
out of their own
will,
just as
they had passed
through the six
other doors,
which were made
of gold and
diamonds.
The great
sages, namely
Sanak,
Sanatan,
Sanandana,
and Sanat Kumara,
although
very old in years,
maintained
themselves eternally
as small children.
They were not
at all
duplicitous,
and they
entered the
doors
exactly
as little
children enter
places
without any
idea of
what it is
to trespass.
That is
a child's nature.
A child
can enter
any place
and no one checks
him.
Indeed,
a child is
generally welcome
in his attempts
to go places.
But
if it so happens
that a child is
checked from
entering a door,
he naturally
becomes
very sorry and
angry.
That is the
nature of a child.
In this
case, the same
thing happened.
The
childlike
saintly
personalities
entered
all
the six
doors of
the palace,
and no
one checked them.
Therefore,
when they attempted
to enter the
seventh door
and were
forbidden
by the doorman,
who
checked them with their
sticks,
they
naturally
became very
angry and
sorrowful.
An
ordinary child
would cry,
but because
these were
not ordinary
children,
they immediately
made preparations
to punish the
doorman,
for the doorman
had committed
a great offense.
Even
to this day, a
saintly person
is never checked
from
entering
anyone's
door
in India.
I offer
my respectful obeisances
to His Divine
Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta
Swami Prabhupada,
and
to all the assembled devotees.
Vancha
kopatrupascha
kripa sindupyevacha
patitanam
bhavanibhyo
vaishnavibhyo
namo namaha.
The
freedom
of movement
of
the four
kumaras
is
indicative of
the ways
in which,
when one is
not attached
to the world,
one has
freedom of
movement.
Because
when one has a
vested interest
in the world,
then
the world
becomes sticky.
As
Krishna says in the
Gita,
Jayato
Vishayam Pum
Sam Sangasteshu
Vijayate,
Sangat
Sanjayate
Kama,
Kama
Krodhu
Vijayate.
When
one contemplates
the
world,
meaning
there's
a desire
to
possess it
or control
it,
then
one creates
a relationship
with it.
One has
a relationship with it,
apparently,
although
it's an illusory
relationship.
Asangohyayam
purushaha,
the living
entity actually has
nothing to do with
the material world.
It's
a different
category of
energy that we
cannot
relate
to.
It's not
compatible with
our nature,
nonetheless,
because
it is one of the
Lord's eight
energies.
Daivahi
esha gunamayi.
Jayato,
when one
contemplates it,
Vishaya
pum sam sangha
steshu
vijayate.
One
develops
a sangha,
it
becomes a
anga,
a part of one,
that
this is me now.
This
is my car.
If you hit the car,
then you
hit me.
And
I similarly
become
enamored
of the
body and
think this is
me,
this is my body.
But
as Krishna describes in
the sixth chapter
of the Bhagavad Gita,
when one comes to the Brahman conception of life, one sees pebbles, stones, gold as the same. And in the Sri Upanishad, it is said, Kurvane viha karmani jivishakshatam samaha evam tvai nanyate tosina karma lipitena re. One who lives in the world without this sense of designation that this is mine, or I have something to gain from working and works in the Ishavasya spirit, that this is all part of the complete whole, and I'm yet a participant here. Then, Brahmanyadaya karmani sangam tyakva karotiya lipitena sapapena padma patram ivambasa. Krishna says one lives in the world without touching it. And the sages, the four kumaras, were used to moving about freely. In fact, if somebody knows that you don't have a vested interest in something, you're free to come and go. People are mostly concerned that you will abscond with their intellectual property or otherwise other properties because you have an interest in them. That's why, as Prabhupada mentions here, the renunciates who have already given up the world are free to move about because everyone feels that they're not going to abscond with my stuff because they don't want it. They don't need it. And this is, as we had a discussion yesterday, and Akurnath Prabhu, as I was pushing yesterday for a description of this juncture we were at here in the Srimad Bhagavatam, gave me this word, liminality. And ever since that word hit my ear, I've been intrigued by it and thinking about it. And it comes from the root word lim, which means the edge. And considering from a broader view, we all live in a liminal state because we're tatastha, and means that we can move about from one situation to another in this world due to our nature. We can associate ourselves with Krishna's lower nature or his lower energies, the bhinna prakriti bhumir apo analobhayu kambana upurir eva cha ahankara ityame bhinna prakriti rashtada. Or as Krishna enlightens us in the Bhagavad Gita, apare mitastanyam prakritim vidime param jiva bhutam mahabaho yayedam darite jagat, that you're really you have nothing to do with that lower nature, therefore don't become enamored of it. Nonetheless, we're in a liminal state because we can slide between either of those energies. And when we slide into the material nature, then we become distanced from the Lord by consciousness. Bhayam dvitiya vinibheshatasyad. We become absorbed in meditation on the material energy as a source of our fortune. And we think there's something separate from Krishna, and therefore fear arises within the heart of the living entity. And Kavi Yogendra says, Bhayam dvitiya vinibheshatasyad ishad apetasya viparyayusmiti. This is a condition of life where one's turned around, apetasya, from one's real interest in life. And the solution, tanmaya tat buddha abhijit tam bhaktyaika yesham guru devatat, must turn around and face the Lord. And this story also brings us to a sense of liminality, because here are the sages who have no interest in the world whatsoever. They're described, and they keep themselves as children. They have a childlike view of the world. They have a childlike worldview. And now they're entering into the realm of Vaikuntha. So what's going to happen with this connection between the sages who have no interest in anything in the world, and now they're entering Vaikuntha? This happens to be one of the recurring themes of the Bhagavatam. And it's purposeful because most people, almost everyone, unless they have connection with the Srimad Bhagavatam, have no idea of how to extricate themselves from the material world. As I quoted yesterday, yene ravindakshava muktamaninas tvayasta bhavad avashuddha bhutaya aruya krishna parampadam tata patantya tonadrita yushmaran graya. The demigods praying to Lord Krishna within the womb, we find in the 10th canto, 2nd chapter, say that unless one has knowledge of that which is beyond the material world, most specifically the personality of Godhead, because the absolute truth is one, dvaya gyan tattva, one can come to understand one's oneness, but what about the variety within the oneness? And vadanti tattva vidas tattvam yaj gyanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavaniti sabdete. The absolute truth, the subject of the absolute truth as being discussed at Naimasharanya, is a dvaya gyan tattva. It's one thing, but there's variety within that. But by speculation, I will not be able to understand what's the variety, the ultimate aspect of that absolute truth. And here we have the level playing field of the Kumaras, who are no longer interested in the material world. What other situation is there? That Shukadeva Goswami is mentioned as being reluctant, to say the least, to come out of the womb of his mother because he doesn't want to mix with the material world. And as he comes out of the womb, he takes off. Yam pravajantamanu petam apetakritam dvai payano viraha kartarajuhava. His father's running behind him saying, come back, come back. And he has nothing to do with that. He doesn't even turn around and say, not right now. He just goes. And apetasya, he didn't go to school. He skipped kindergarten, nine through 12, plus master's and PhD programs. Just walked away from it. Had no interest in it whatsoever. But his father, Srila Vyasadeva, knowing the nature of the absolute truth and its attractiveness, or his attractiveness, retrieved his son, who is unattached to the world. How unattached? He didn't wear any clothes. It's generally the preoccupation of people to take care of hair, nails, and clothes. I discovered that from going shop to shop on Sankirtan, that the engine of the economy is nail salons. I had no idea there were so many. There's one on every block. And there is no indication that Shukadeva was interested in his nails. He didn't even wear clothes. Didn't care if the style was now, I think it may be over now, but for a while people were wearing tight clothes. In the 1980s, it was baggy, then it went to tight, and maybe it's coming back into baggy, I don't know. But people become preoccupied with that. He was not preoccupied at all with the style of the material world. And his father sent out disciples into the forest where Shukadeva had taken shelter. On his way there, of course, Bhagavatam mentions that he passed a pokor where young women were bathing naked, and they didn't bother to cover themselves because when they felt his presence, they saw him coming, they thought, he doesn't even see us as women. When Vyasadeva came, on the other hand, looking for his son, chasing after him, they covered themselves because he was in the role of a grahasta and apparently made designations ostensibly. So when the disciples of Vyasadeva got to the forest, they began to recite verses from the Srimad Bhagavatam, like Aho Bhakiyam Stanakala Kutam Jigamsaya Payad Apyasadvi, recounting the Uddhava's recount of the mercy of Lord Krishna, Kamvadaya Lum Sharanam Vrajayama. Who would take shelter of anybody else who's because Lord Krishna is the most merciful, why he gave special mercy to Putana, who tried to kill him. He gave her a place in the spiritual world as a kind of mother, and vimukti, not just mukti, but vimukti, a kind of mukti where one has an eternal relationship with Krishna in the spiritual world. And other such verses that were repeated by the disciples of Vyasadeva, upon hearing these, Shukadeva Goswami noticed an attraction in his heart, and thinking, what is this? I have nothing to do with this material world. I'm not interested at all. And he came back. He was compelled by that sound vibration to come back to study under his father and learn the Srimad Bhagavatam, which he later, out of mercy, he went out into the world and found Parikshit Maharaj in need of instruction, and he gave him that instruction of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Sutta Goswami heard it. He brought it to the sages at Naimisharanya, who were looking for a solution to the impending gloom of the Kali Yuga. And he gave them the panacea, which was the Srimad Bhagavatam. So now we have the sages coming into Vaikuntha. And this is similar, that they have no attraction to the material world, but what will happen when they come to Vaikuntha? So there's a brouhaha, a kerfuffle, a skirmish, no, something with some sense of discord there at the gate of Vaikuntha, which is setting the stage first for a transformation. And it'll be demonstrative because we have the perfect subjects, the four Kumaras, who are wholly unattached to the material world, and now they're entering Vaikuntha. What might happen? So what does happen? When Narayan finds his servants at the door in an argument with the four Kumaras, he comes to the scene to alleviate the distress of the four Kumaras, and also to give a special benediction to his doorkeepers by allowing them to accept the curse of the sages so they can enter into his lila, which they do. Jayan Vijaya, as we know, accepted three lives in the material world as adversaries of the Lord, and that would be Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha, Goldeye, and then there's Ravana Kumbhakarna, and then we have Shishupal and Dantabhakra, three lifetimes, and they interact with the Lord. So when the sages come in contact with Lord Narayan, one of the indicative verses of the power of bhakti, which is very important because the Bhagavatam, again, is building this case for bhakti, going through the various levels of self-realization that one may endeavor for, and the different processes for achieving self-realization. And we find at the beginning of the Bhagavatam, fifth chapter, first canto, when Srila Vyasadeva had scoped out, or he had mapped out all the various levels of self-realization, and then he wasn't satisfied, his guru, Narada, had appeared. And upon admitting to Srila Vyasadeva that he was not satisfied, Narada Muni says to him, Naishkarmyam apyachuta bhava varjitam na shobhate jnanam alam niranjanam kutakmana shashvada bhadramishvare yacharpitam karma yadapyakaranam. And that is that although you've given all the various processes of self-realization, and he describes here naish karmyam, a way of working in the world with no desire for anything in return. That's rare in the world anyway, isn't it? But naish karmyam apyachuta bhava bhajanam nashobate jnanam alam niranjana means similar thing, that one has no interest in the world. One's only working for atmatattva, coming to the stage of understanding the atma. This is a very exalted position. But he said, it's not beautiful. That's its problem. Naish karmyam apyachuta bhava bhajitam nashobate. Nashobate means it's not aesthetically pleasing. It's not beautiful. And it's because it lacks a chuta bhava. Chuta bhava means this emotion of love, and attraction for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, achuta. And because it's lacking that, and because everything you've written, says Narada, it hasn't led to this point of showing the attractive feature of the Supreme features of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it's useless. Jagupsitam, he said, it's worse than useless. It's abominable what you've written. Imagine, spiritual master comes, you've been working on it for a while, you've got the whole Vedas, and then he says, this is terrible. You blew it completely. So what does he say? That you have to clearly describe the features of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So now we find out what happens when one who is qualified by Brahma Bhuta, after all we know from Gita, Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma, na shochati na kangshati, samak sarveshu bhuteshu, mad bhaktim. When one comes to this point of self-realization, one's no longer obligated to the senses in the way one was before. They're always demanding, senses are always feel entitled. I demand that, and I deserve it. You know, you give it to me now. No more. There's no more obligation by the senses, and the incredible weight of the world comes off one's head, that I have no more debt in this world. No one to pay back, because I have no more connection to the world. Brahma, Bhuta, Prasanatma, one becomes happy. Shochati, Nakangshati, no more lamentation or hankering. And one sees, one has no more envy of living beings, because samak sarveshu bhuteshu, burning envy, is a problem in this world. Icha dvesha simutena. So, mad bhaktim labhate param. From that position, one can, is at the threshold of the door of bhakti, and one can enter in easily from that position, Krishna is saying there. So here's the perfect situation. The Kumara is coming into Vaikuntha. And then the verse of ultimate transformation, which indicates the superior quality of bhakti yoga, and gives by example the very definition of what bhakti is. So when Narayan comes near, we hear that tasyaravinda nayanasya padaravinda kinjalka misha tulasi makaranda vayu. So what happens is Lord Narayan has ornaments on his body. One of them is the tulsi leaves that his devotees place at his lotus feet. Often they are anointed with sandalwood paste, which is made from sandalwood, obviously. And then you have some rose water, correct? Say yes.
Yes.
Then you have saffron, one of the more subtle scents in this world, isn't it? Anybody familiar with saffron? If not, please try to get familiarized. Saffron, this is sandalwood, rose water, which is also, it's a very heady scent. When you smell rose water, you feel like, okay, life's okay. And then you have saffron, and then a little camphor. Ugh. They put a little camphor and you make a paste, and then the devotee would, out of love, take a tulsi leaf with that admixture and then put it on the lotus feet of the Lord. And of course, Preeti Maharaj describes how when devotees who are in love with the Lord speak, then the vibration from their speech touches the Lord's lotus feet, and it gets mixed with that concoction, that mixture of sandalwood paste and camphor and rose water and saffron. And then when you hear it, you change. Your mind changes. Your heart changes. Your direction in life changes. Like, yeah, no, I think I'm going with the devotees. Because it's mixed with saffron mercy particles from the Lord's lotus feet. Now one may say, what is all this, saffron mercy particles? It's what everyone's looking for. When you look at the moon, what you want really is not some graph that shows how big the moon is, or you know what the geological formations are in the moon. When you look at the moon, you want to swoon and think, oh, I'm in love. That's the ascetic part of life, and that's what comes from bhakti, is the ascetic that cannot be measured by scientific tools. You can't get a little meter down at Lowe's, unless you talk to Chaturama, that measures how you're affected by the scent of this mixture. So the sages, unattached from the material world, not caring for anything, then were aggressively attacked by that scent. Now I'm going to justify my way of saying that in a second. But what happened? Tasyaravinda nayanasya padaravinda kinjalka mishra tulasi makarandavayu. The air they were breathing was mixed with this scent of tulsi leaves from the lotus feet of the Lord. And then the verse goes on to say, shankshobhyam aksharam jusham, that it caused a shift in their hearts. They had been satisfied with the status quo of being self-realized. But then suddenly, everything changed in their hearts and minds. And their senses were awakened to Krishna. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur writes that just as the Kumaras, apparently, according to Jayan Vijay, were trespassers, they had no right to just barge in. Then he asked the question, what was the right of the Lord to, through the scent of his lotus feet and the tulsi leaves thereupon, to enter into the nostrils of these four Kumaras? What right did he have to invade first their air passageway through the nose, and then it attacked their mind? And Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, when a conquering army comes, they come in and they'll kill the king, and then they'll take over all of the stations within the fort and then take over the city. He said, in the same way, Lord Narayan attacked the four Kumaras by entering their nostrils with this scent, and their mind was conquered. It was no longer under their control. They became intoxicated by the scent, and all they could think of was the beauty of the Lord. And then the transformation took place within their hearts. And so, as Prabhupada goes on to explain this section, this is the power of devotional service. That our senses, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, nahi kashyat shanam api jatu tishtyatya karma krit karyate yavasha karma sarva prakriti jayagunai. We can't stop at the engagement of our senses. They have to be engaged somewhere. And unless and until we're able to perceive the beauty of Krishna, we will not attain the perfection of life. Now, here's some good news by way of a description of Krishna's special quality and also Lord Chaitanya's special qualities that we have access to because of the mercy of the disciplic succession. May I speak for a few more minutes and then we'll have reflections? Okay. When Jai and Vijay were cursed and they fell from the spiritual world to engage in pastimes in the material world, the pastime called Viraras, because Krishna likes to flex his muscles and fight. And after all, when he killed, it was Vijay who killed Hiranyaka, and he slapped him upside the head. That's where that saying comes from. It's in the Bhagavatam. Slapped him upside the head, and he killed him. And Hiranyakashipu was Jai, and he was killed by? Yeah. So he was killed by the Lord, but he didn't achieve liberation. When Hiranyakashipu saw Nrisingadeva, and Nrisingadeva was in fact tearing his heart out, of course Nrisingadeva was noticing, as we know from the commentary, in eviscerating his subject, that, well, how have you kept so many material desires within your heart, he was thinking. But Hiranyakashipu thought of him as somebody who had done a lot more tapasya than he had, and that's why he was being taken over by him. He didn't perceive of him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This description comes from Rupa Goswami in the Laghu Bhagavatamrita. He's quoting from the Vishnu Purana. So he says, in his next life, Jai, then, because he was killed by the Lord, he took the all-opulent position of Ravana. Ravana had so much strength and wealth that he had conquered demigods, and he had the strength that was beyond anyone's conception. But when he was killed by Ramachandra, he also had the conception that this is an ordinary human being. And in the next life, he didn't achieve liberation, but he became Shishupal. So then Rupa Goswami says, when Shishupal was born, he began speaking Krishna's names, albeit in the context of blasphemy. He was just a little baby, and the first words out of his mouth were names of Krishna, but he was trying to defame him. So he had this sense of anger against Krishna. And he maintained that throughout his life. And as we know, at the Rajasuya Yajna, Krishna finally killed him. But at that point, when Krishna showed himself to Shishupal had chanted his names regularly. And even in the last few minutes of his life, he had stood up in the Rajasuya sacrifice to say how unqualified Krishna was. And in that context, he was saying many names of Krishna. And then he saw the beauty of Krishna just before he was decapitated. And cleanly, I might add, as it's mentioned there, because the Lord didn't want to ruin the Rajasuya Yajna by having even one drop of blood fall. Just a side note. But then, in front of everybody's eyes, the spirit soul of Shishupal came from his body and entered into the body of Krishna. And as Prabhupada explains, this doesn't mean Sayuja Mukti. It only means it was a gateway back to his original position in the spiritual world. But he attained liberation at that point. And why? This is the part that's applicable to us. He says, does Rupa Goswami, that Krishna is Akila Rasamrita Murti. He is the form of all charm in all relationships. Only he offers all relationships. We know Ramchandra doesn't, and Lord Nrsingadev doesn't, although they are listed as of the top three, Krishna, Nrsingadev, and Rama, as all opulent forms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Only Krishna has a charm that is so enticing that it will naturally compel a living entity to want to give up the material world. Krishna. And what's more, Rupa Goswami says that his names are especially powerful. So if one chants the holy names of the Lord and sees the beautiful forms of the Lord, then one can attain the ultimate perfection of life. And encapsulated, that is the process of Krishna consciousness given to us by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I'll stop there. Those will stand as some preliminary thoughts and comments, and let's see if you have some reflections or questions that will deepen the conversation. Or I should say, please ask questions that deepen the conversation or give reflections.
Very inspiring hearing about Krishna's charm. When you said that, my first thought was, does Lord Chaitanya also have that same charm available?
Yes, in fact, it's mentioned in the verse, panchatattvatmakam krishnam bhakta rupa swarupakam bhaktavatar bhakta kyam nama. I should say, krishnavarnam tusha krishnam sangopangasha parshadam yagnai sankirtana prayer yajantihi samedasa. There it's mentioned his astra, his weapon, is his beauty. One might think, oh, his weapon is the holy names or this or that, but Karbhajana Muni gives this verse, and our acharyas say that the weapon of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is his supreme beauty. After all, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Hi Anya. He's Radha and Krishna combined. And therefore, Karbhajana Muni also says about Lord Chaitanya, Deyam Sada Paribhavagnam Abhishta Doham Tirtasparam Shiva Vrinchi Nutam Sharanyam Vrityartiham Pranatapala Pabhavti Potam Vande Mahapurushate Charanadavindam. If you want to place your meditation somewhere, here's the place, he said, where you can always meditate. That's on Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet. Deyam Sada, that means you can always meditate there. In fact, the Lord doesn't mind if you sit here all day and look at him. I've noticed that in temples around the world, oftentimes, especially I've seen in Chicago, Shishi Kishore Kishori, people on their way to work, businessmen, mostly Indians, they'll come in and just sit there. They're not chanting or anything like that. They're just looking at the Lord. And they'll sit there for 10 minutes, half an hour. Then they'll get up and go, and Krishna doesn't seem to mind. Because that's why he's here. Because if you don't see Krishna, then you'll have to look at everybody else. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Deyam Sada. He says, if you want to place your attention anywhere, see the beauty of Lord Chaitanya. Paribhavagnam, that meditation on Lord Chaitanya, he said, will take away the embarrassment of material life. And then abhishta doham, it will also fulfill your innermost desire. What you always wanted will be fulfilled, which is the relationship with Krishna. Tirtaspadam Shiva Varinchi says, even Shiva, Varinchi, Brahma, they're all attracted to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's the sum total of all the holy places combined. Tirtaspadam Shiva Varinchi Nutam Sharan Brityartiham Pranatapala Pavabdipotam. His feet are a boat that can take you across the material nature. So yes, his astra is his beauty, and the meditation on Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was highly recommended by Karbhajana Muni and others. Thank you.
Thank you. I just wanted to also say a takeaway is the transformation is waiting for all of us. And that's when our a relationship awakens with Krishna as the four Kumaras. They were in this liberated state, but the transformation was actually their a relationship awakening.
Yeah, you don't know until you get there. Just like the Kumaras, they didn't know what was waiting for them and that the transformation would happen at that point. I recall a time when I went to the temple in Dallas, Texas, and I was going to give an initiation to a disciple who comes from a long line of Christian Baptists. And I had had some exchanges by mail with her husband, who wasn't thrilled that his wife, part of a Baptist congregation, was going to take initiation. And you know how when you're preparing for a talk or to meet a certain kind of audience, you really try to enter into their perspective? You know what I mean? Just say yes. And then I was doing that, and I was trying to think, what is it like to be a Baptist? So I went and looked at a Baptist church, and all I saw was a cross. There were no pictures of anything, a few flowers and just a cross. And in entering into that mood of a Baptist, I was feeling a little constrained and maybe slightly dry, with all due respect to all the Baptists in the world, whom are our brethren, whom we love deeply. But when I got to the Dallas temple, it was nighttime, and in the morning time I was there for Mangal Arati. And if you've ever been to the temple there, it's ornate, to say the least. It's aesthetically pleasing in every way, designed by Tomal Krishnamurti. Even though when in the morning time, the lights gradually come up as if the sun is rising, and then there are murals on the wall of all of Krishna's pastimes in all the rasas. And so coming with this cross in my mind and feeling dry, and how will I talk to the audience, which also I found out at the last minute would include the whole congregation from our church who had never been to a Hare Krishna temple. And the devotees were ribbing me, and they say, wait till they see the fire. So when I got to Mangal Arati, and then of course the curtains open, and you see, you smell the incense, and then you see the lamp being offered, and then there's a flower, and it gets passed around. And you sit down for singing the prayers to the Lord of Shingadev. Somebody comes, puts oil on your hand. It's flowers, incense, oil. And then the lights come up, and you see Krishna's pastimes. He's fighting with coward boys, he's dancing with gopis. And I was thinking, yeah, this is different from a regular church. It has something that nobody else has. Yes, Maharaj.
In the beginning of your class, you were describing the symptom of liberated soul. And he quoted many verses, jam pravrajanta manupetam upetam krittam. So you explained about that. And you identify four Kumaras and Sukhdev Goswami, they are perfect example of liberated. But for a devotee like Prabhupada, great personality, that not necessarily, maybe you can clarify me, are the symptom. Like Prabhupada, you also translated on the Jnana Vijnana Triptatma, Kutastha Vijitendriya. When somebody applies the knowledge and he actually liberated, he sees where there is a dust, dirt, or gold, or diamond, there is no difference. But Prabhupada was paying attention on the cement bag that makes sure you dust up the cement, because cement was very rare at that time in Krishna Balaram temple construction time. And Prabhupada was paying very close attention. So somebody may say, how come he is so attached to this cement? He's a Mahabhagavat. So my question is like, not necessarily a liberated soul like Prabhupada versus Sukhdev Goswami and Four Kumar are on the same category. Devotees are much higher than that.
Yes, and that's the contrast that's being brought out here. That the when the transformation takes place, one comes, if we look on a number line, material life is the negative numbers. And if you move up the number line to get away from the negativity of the material world, which means you're getting more and more in debt as you do anything here, you come to, by your own mental speculation, you can come to this zero, nothing. But that's when one receives association with a pure devotee, only by that one can then move into the positive numbers of devotional service. And obviously, Prabhupada and our great acharyas, they're up in the infinity on the positive side of the aesthetic of the spiritual world. And that also, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, he gives the same contrast between the yogis he's mentioning in the sixth chapter of the Gita, and then later on he says, or earlier on, he says, Brahmarpanam brahmahavir brahmagnau brahmanohutam brahmaiva tena gantavya brahmakarma samadhina. He said, this is the way of engaging oneself in this world without being touched by it, is to engage everything in Krishna's service. So we understand from our acharyas, Sarvapadi Vinirmuktam Tapratnena Nirmalam Hrishikena Hrishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Ruchate. What does that mean? Use everything in all of your senses. You have to use all of your senses, otherwise they'll go elsewhere. Prahlad Maharaj describes that, oh, my senses, they're pulling at me from every direction, demanding something from me. So unless they're satisfied and by being engaged in Krishna's service, then I won't be happy. So that's the benediction that we have coming from this line. We're already getting the information from the positive numbers. We don't have to go through the liberation process per se, because by engaging in ajata ruchi raganuga sadhana bhakti, which is what we're doing, we're following the footsteps of the Goswamis. Everything they touched, we touch. Everything they see, we see. Everything they sing, we sing. We may be in a state of ajata ruchi. We don't have taste for it yet. But that touch, because Krishna is invasive, he'll take over. Just like with the Kumaras, he entered their nostrils. And Vishwanath Chakravarti tells us, what right do you have to go in their nostrils? And that's like, if you expose yourself to Krishna, he's like, okay, you stepped over the line, you're coming with me.
Can I just say?
Yes, just please, please.
The transformation may be waiting for relationship, but relationship will never be established without devotional attitude. If we serve more, whether I like or not, I should be engaged in service. Then automatically relationship will be established. And then transformation will take place. Please correct me.
As my esteemed godbrother and dear friend used to say, your seva will save you.
Yes.
Okay.
Hare Krishna, thank you for your class. I'm so full and full of nuances. And I have been curious about the four Kumaras, how they were in contact with their father, who was a pure devotee, and who knew about Krishna. And they were instructed by their father, like Sukadev Goswami was instructed by his father, Vyasadev. And still, and they heard about Krishna, and still it took something else to turn their jnana into vigyan in some ways. And that's something that I've been curious about, because I think there's something there that I'd like to understand and maybe expand on.
Well, there's a way in which in the Jiva Dharma, Bhaktivinoda Thakur indicates how there's this bhakti unmukhi sukriti. As Prabhupada describes, every living being has a bank account in his or her own heart. And when we come in contact with bhakti, because of association with devotees, it could be a jnata. We're not absolutely sure who we're dealing with, but still somehow or other we have some favorable dealings with bhaktas. Or even, as the sixth canto mentions, even if it's unfavorable, or Rupa Goswami says, Jayanama deha muni vindageya he janaranjanaya paramakshara kite tomararara pi managudiritam nikiloagra patata. Patalim nalumpasi, somebody may, out of derision, say, Hare Krishna, get out of here. These all make deposits in the heart. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur quotes from the Brihat Naradiya Purana and says that when there's an accumulation of this bhakti and mukhi sukriti within the heart by these contacts, at a certain point then it fructifies. And what's born? Shraddha. Shraddha. Shraddha means the heart, and da is an active verb. It means where you place something. Suddenly you think, yeah, maybe that's not a bad idea what these guys are doing, Hare Krishna. And you develop a sentiment for it, and it's awakened because of that accumulation. In the Bhakti Sandarbha, there's a description by Jiva Goswami, a story of a person who's an industrialist, and he's working hard to build his empire. But he has accumulated this bhakti umukhi sukriti in his heart. And one day, when there's a mother who calls out the window to her daughter and says, now's the time, come home, come home. And he just happened to be walking by at that time, and he hears that directive from the mother to the child. And then he suddenly realizes, I should be engaged full-time in devotional service. What am I doing? I should be going home. It awakened within his heart. And he changed from being an industrialist to begging door-to-door. Prabhupada mentions it in the Nectar Devotion, to humble himself and to build a temple for the Lord. And so that contact was there with the four Kumaras. Even Brahma had mentioned it to them about bhakti. But now, favorable circumstances, spiritual serendipity. It comes at a particular time, and therefore we find that people awaken, and that's it, because we've come to the end of our time. Thank you very much, everyone, for all you're doing here in Alachua. I was thinking this morning, Ranjit Prabhu, who I'm so happy to see. I see him regularly on Zoom because we work on the same team. And he said, what do you think? I don't know what, I can't remember what you said, but I said, I feel like I came back to Godhead. Because, you know, you have this idea when you go back to Godhead, you'll see all your friends. You get here, it's like, yeah, everyone's here. I didn't know that. They all went back to Godhead. They live here in Alachua. So, just from an outsider's view, what you have here is particularly sweet. And it's also such a benefit that you're creating by this all-welcoming mood that you have here to include everybody in who's on the campus, wherever they may be, in the activities of devotional service, and you keep the heartbeat of devotional service constantly going here as an example for the world. Thank you for everyone, for your kind association and encouragements. Dear Srila Prabhupada, dear Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Sri Panchatattva, Sri Sri Radhe Shyam, Sri Sri Krishna Balaram, Sri Sri Gornitai, if you so desire, please empower us so that we can assist you in spreading the Sankirtan movement to all the people of Alachua, Orlando, all over the state of Florida. May people embrace the Krishna consciousness movement and dance in the streets together in Harinam Sankirtan. Thank you for considering our request. Everyone agrees with this prayer in part or in whole, please unmute and say Hare Krishna. Vancha kalpadrusha kripa sindhavi vacha patitanam pavani bhyo vaishnavi bhyo namo namaha nantakodi vaishnavi niki jai gopre manande.
You have to come back quick.